Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Matikos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's show is entitled, Loose Him and Let Him Go. This morning, I'm going to continue the theme that I started yesterday with regard to the resurrection power of the voice of the EASIS. And I want to talk a bit about the physiology of voice, or voice as we know it, voice, sound, resonance, and articulation. Now, the spoken word results from three components of voice production: voice, sound, resonance, and articulation. Voiced sound, that is, the basic sound produced by a vocal fold vibration, is called voiced sound. This frequently is described as a buzzy sound. Voiced sound for singing differs significantly from voiced sound for speech. Resonance is voice sound amplified or modified by the vocal tract resonators, that is, the throat, mouth cavity, and nasal passages. The resonators produce a person's recognizable voice. Articulation is the voice tract. There are the voice tract articulators, the tongue, the soft palate, and lips modify the voice sound. The articulators produce recognizable words. Voice depends on vocal fold, vibration, and resonance. Sound is produced when aerodynamic phenomena cause vocal folds to vibrate rapidly in a sequence of vibratory cycles with a speed of about 110 cycles per sound or hertz for men, that for lower pitch, 180 to 220 cycles per second for women for medium pitch, and 300 cycles per second for children for higher pitch. Higher voice equals increase in frequency of vocal fold vibration. Louder sound equals increase in amplitude of vocal fold vibration. So the vibratory cycle equals open, and there's an open and closed phase. The vocal fold vibratory cycle has phases that include an orderly sequence of opening and closing at the top and bottom of the vocal folds, letting short puffs of air through at high speed. Air pressure is converted to sound waves. Voice production involves a three-step process. A column of air pressure is moved towards the vocal folds. Air is moved out of the lungs and toward the vocal folds by coordinated action of the diaphragm, abdominal muscles, chest muscles, and rib cage. Two, the vocal fold vibration equals sequence of vibratory cycles. Vocal folds are moved to midline by voice box, muscles, nerves, and cartilages. The vibratory cycle occurs repeatedly. One vibratory cycle is as follows. Column of air pressure opens the bottom of vocal folds. Two, column of air continues to move upward, now toward the top of vocal folds and opens the top. Three, the low pressure created behind the fast-moving air column produces a or Fanoli effect, which causes the bottom to close, followed by the top. Closure of the vocal folds cut off the air column and releases a pulse of air. Now, the new cycle repeat. The rapid pulses of air created by repeat vibratory cycles produce voice sound, which is really just a buzzy sound, which is then amplified and modified by the vocal tract resonators, producing voice as we know it. Loudness, again, increase in airflow blows vocal folds wider apart, which stay apart longer during a vibratory cycle, thus increasing amplitude of the sound pressure wave. Pitch, increase in frequency of vocal fold vibration. Vocal tract the resonators and the articulators. The nose, the pharynx, and mouth amplify and modify sound, allowing it to take on the distinctive qualities of voice. The human voice can be modified in many ways. Consider the spectrum of sound: whispering, speaking, orating, shouting, as well as the different sounds that are possible in different forms of vocal music, such as rock singing, gospel singing, and opera singing. In order to vibrate efficiently, vocal folds need to be at the midline or closed. And failure to move vocal folds to the midline, or any lesion which prevents the vocal fold edges from meeting, allows air pressure to escape and results in breathing voice. And the key players here are muscles, cartilages, again, and nerves. Pliable. The natural built-in elasticity of vocal folds makes them pliable. The top, edge, and bottom of the vocal folds that meet in the midline and vibrate need to be pliable. Changes in vocal fold pliability, even if limited to just one region or spot, can cause voice disorders, as seen in vocal fold scarring. The key players here are epithelium, superficial, lamina, propria. Just right tension. The inability to adjust tension during singing can cause a failure to reach high notes or break the voice. Again, the key players here are muscle, nerve, and cartilages. Just right mass. Changes in the soft tissue bulk of the vocal folds, such as decrease or thinning, as in scarring, or increase or swelling, as in Reinecke's edema, produced many voice symptoms: hoarseness, altered voice pitch, effortful phonation, etc. Again, the key players here are muscles, nerves, epithelium, and superficial lamina propria. Now, I wanted to bring this information to your attention because I want there to be a true appreciation for what is involved in voice. Once again, with regard to resonance as applied to voice, it is the resonators that produce a person's recognizable voice. And again, with regard to articulation, the vocal tract articulators, that is the tongue, the soft palate, and lips, modify the voice sound. The articulators produce recognizable words. When we speak about the scripture, the biblical documents, and what they have to teach us about voice, we have a very significant amount of information with regard to that particular theme or topic. Indeed, one of the major scripture motifs that is found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is the voice motif. Now, for our discussion, a motif is a recurrent thematic element in an artistic or literary work, or a dominant theme or central idea. So with regard to the scriptures, the voice of the Lord is a central idea or theme. I want to share with you at this point some scriptures that in which we find the theme of voice, beginning in Genesis 3:8. Of course, in Genesis 1, we have divine fiat at work in the creation process. But I want to show you something in Genesis 3:8, a very important verse with regard to voice. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Exodus 15:26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his command, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is a very important verse. This verse contains a lot of very poignant information with regard to the spiritual life. And please notice what is brought in this verse, the voice of the Lord, and will give ear to his command. The soul itself, the soul has apertures, or the information or the phenomena of scripture that we take in cognitively. By faith, it's changed in our hearts, where now it becomes usable spiritual phenomena in the soul. And so what the physical ear hears, that is the vibration that goes on with the physical ear. Again, we're dealing with the physics of sound and voice. Changes the Word of God. That is, the Word of God goes into the brain where it is processed cognitively, not merely as a left lobe phenomenon, but the Word of God embraces the entire our nervous system. And the individual who by faith believes or receives that Word of God, that individual's life is changed because he has or she has appropriated to himself or herself the living Word of God. The living Word of God. The soul is a living entity, much like the tissues that comprise the cells that comprise our bodies are living. So our soul is the living entity. Deuteronomy 5:25. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Deuteronomy 8:20. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 13:18. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 15:5. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day, Deuteronomy 18:16, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Joshua 5:6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, so all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, this is 1 Samuel 12:15, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. 1 Kings 18:12, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. Psalm 29:3, the voice of the Lord is upon the water. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Psalm 29:8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Psalm 29:9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. In the book of Exodus, when God was judging Egypt, and the lightning of with its ferocity would strike the ground with its brilliance and incredible electrical energy. In the Hebrew, it is beautiful because the thunder is called the voices of God. Very, very powerful. So there is the association of the voice of God with gentleness and understanding, and also with incredible power. And we cannot reckon the kilowatt energy that was released during that time of judgment through the thunder, the lightning, which are called the voices of God in the scripture. But I'd like to call to your attention passage in the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, verse 1, we read, now a certain man sick named Lazarus of Bethany, of the town of Bethany and the town of Mary, his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This is a very interesting verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the place where he was. In other words, Jesus did not go. Jesus did not go upon receiving a message that Lazarus was sick. And it's being from the passage that Lazarus indeed was in extremis, that is, he was at the point of death. Then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go again into Judea. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late have sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that, this is our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. The disciples did not understand these words. Verse 18 tells us that Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 50 furlongs off. Now, this is interesting because Bethany was a small village on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives, and it was only 2 miles from Jerusalem. And yet, upon hearing on how sick Lazarus was, Jesus chose not to go. When Jesus reaches the home, verse 20, we read that that Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Excuse me. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And so the grief process has begun. And also in this culture, burial took place on the day of death. Verse 22, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus speaks with the family, and Jesus identifies with their grief. Jesus said unto her, in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so at that point, they move out and they go to the grave, because Jesus wants to know where they have laid him. Verse 31, and in verse 32, they move out. Verse 33, when Jesus saw, again, the weeping, that is, the sister of Lazarus, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And so the Lord was greatly moved by what was going on with those whom he loved. He identified with their pain, their grief, the sorrow over their loss. And in verse 35, we have these very pregnant and poignant words, Jesus wept. So he identified with their grief and their sorrow, their loss, as he identifies with our grief and our loss. Each of us has something over which he or she has grieved. And the Lord steps into our grief. And the Lord identifies with us when we have reached this point in our lives. Here in this situation, verse 38, Jesus comes to the grave, and we read that verse 38, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take you away the stone. Verse 39, and Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith, Lord, by this time there's been odor. He has been dead for 4 days. And I want you to see how long Jesus waited before he went to Bethany. Verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave cloth. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. It's interesting that this is not a resurrection. This is a resuscitation, a revivification of Lazarus' physical life. Resurrection involves the receiving of a resurrection body. And Lazarus did not receive the resurrection body, but he was revived. He was taken out from death. And this event is an event that would move the leaders to move ahead with their plan to get rid of the faces. Please note verse 44. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloth, because they would take strips of cloth and put spices between the strips of cloth in order to preserve the body. And the face would have a napkin about it like Jesus had, and he too would be buried. Notice the words that Jesus says in verse 44, loose him and let him go. These words are there, I mean, in the English text, there are only six words, but note that Jesus, lusate, here is an aorist, imperative, active. It is a command. The aorist means at a point in time this command was given, and the active voice, that is, do it now, do it at once. Take away those things which constrict, that bind. Take away those claws, those grave claws which keep him in bondage. When we are born again, and we are born from death into life, we come forth through regeneration, and we are given a brand new life by God. Things from that old life that we had, that constrict, that bind, that limit us in such a way that these things must be loosed from us. And so therefore, we must hear the word of God. And it is that word that removes those things that limit, that bind, that constrict our lives. Those things that we no longer need because of our brand new life. On tomorrow's show, I will go more in depth with this theme of lose him and let him go. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and I will meet with you next time on the Macron.